What's good? What's good, fellas? We are back live from Vietnam. Homer J. Cole, Dennis Smith Jr., Affion Crockett, Dennis L.A. White, Moray, and much, much more. Right now, there's just four of us here. We're still waiting on Big Face. He should be coming in soon. And Big Kaz said he might be coming on tonight as well. Now, let me introduce this cast we got with us tonight. We got the Mutate God down below.
Yo, Mutate.
We got
what it is.
Latin Looney Tunes right next to me.
Yeah, dimelo.
And we got Mr. J, the historian himself, down there in the bottom corner. How y'all doing tonight, fellas?
It's good, everybody.
Doing great.
It's another day, good. Man. We alive.
Oh, yeah. Another day, another hustle.
You feel me?
What's up?
Hey, look, I'm going to go ahead and spark my blunt because today's topics is something else, my boy.
Well, and we did the 5-minute introduction, so, you know, so we can go ahead and get that out the way as well. I guess Big Face ain't joining us. They got the BKFC tonight, so he's live in Hollywood, Florida for the BKFC 57.
Shout out to Big Face.
Yeah,
still doing business
for the Circle of Kings and whatnot.
Represent
some juicy topics tonight.
For sure.
Y'all ready to get into them?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let's dig in.
First topic, always a controversial topic, probably a sensitive topic for some fans. Biggie versus Pac, who you got? Who wants to go first?
It don't matter. I'll go.
Go ahead.
Oh. Check
me.
Check your invite.
Oh, somebody coming in?
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, we got Big Cass. Cass,
oh,
what's
Big
good?
Cass
what's
in
good?
The building.
Big Cass.
What's good,
what up, my brother?
I'm cooling. Yo, I'm Paul.
What's up?
Paul. I got Walmart delivery pulling up in my crib. Let me go outside and grab the stuff from the dude before we start.
Okay. All right, so get into it. Pac.
Yeah,
Big
I mean.
Pac, who you got and why? And why?
Now, I'll tell you like this, man. Like, this subject is so overdone for me. Like, I'm like over it, like, a times a million. I ain't gonna lie to you. You know what I'm saying?
When
I was young, I was pro Biggie. Now, I ain't gonna lie. All the way. East Coast, Biggie, I was on it. As I got older, I became a little bit more on the Pac side. I ain't gonna lie. Because, man, it was just like, I don't know, like the stuff Pac was talking about, I was like going through more of that as I got older. You know what I'm saying? But when it came to that particular beef when I was young, I went on the Biggie side because Biggie just had more swag with it. He didn't really do nothing. And if Who Shot You was for Pac, which I don't think it was, you know, I think Biggie just had more lyrical charisma than Pac did. But, you know, overall, it was just a bad publicity stunt that went wrong. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So
there's no proof that Who Shot You was about Pac. And that definitely played into it.
Yeah. Really, it was Puff versus Suge.
So you're going with Pac. You started with Big, and now you're going with Pac.
I'm just over it. I'm not biased. I'm going for both of them. I ain't gonna lie.
Okay.
It's tough, man.
Mr. J.
Yeah, man. Hey, to piggyback on what he was saying, you know, the Who Shot You verse was actually for somebody else. I failed to remember who exactly it was for at the time. But what was going on was just crazy around that time, and everything that's come out since has really kind of pulled everybody, you know, in different directions. Mm-hmm. You know, I personally was bumping both of them at the same time. I didn't stray away from that, but I had more of a passion for Pac because of his, you know, poetry and his mm-hmm. his passion. You know, and just the things that he went through and he represented, you know, not just about, you know, the hood, not just about flashiness, really, because his mother was a Panther and he was about the struggle. And he was really about, you know, upliftment of people. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, he got caught up in a lot of, you know, got caught up in a lot of negativity, kind of wasn't allowed to really mature to where he could have been. And we see a lot of flashes of that in the movies. We see a lot of the flashes of that in the music and some of the stuff that's come out since. You know, even at the end of it, you know, the magazines drew out that whole East-West thing. You know, he had that one, you know, that One Nation album that was supposed to come out. And some of the tracks came out with him and Buckshot and, you know, the whole Boot Camp click. So, you know, tragic all the way around, but I was my passion, the passion was there for Pac.
So you got Pac over Big.
For the passion, you know what I'm saying? Big was definitely more technical. It was definitely more about punchlines and metaphors.
And stories.
Storylines, yeah, story, lyric-wise. You know what I'm saying? So,
Latin Loonies, what say you, my friend?
See, he from the West Coast.
That's what I was about to say. Hear me out, though. With me saying I'm from the West Coast, bro, I listened to more Biggie than I did Tupac.
Okay.
Okay.
And what I've noticed about a lot of people on the East Coast is they listen to more Tupac than they do Biggie. I don't know what it is, why, but it's crazy. But me personally, man, I resonated more with Biggie, man. Like I just like the way he made things pictured out. You know what I'm saying? And to me, it was like, oh shit, I like this nitty gritty. You know what I'm saying? And you know, Pac, of course, Pac will forever be one of the greats, because, you know, I think everybody can resonate with Pac. You know what I'm saying? But I think that's what set me apart with Biggie, that I felt like it was a select type of people who would really resonate with Biggie and be like, you know what, this is the kind of flow that I'm on, or this is the kind of path that I'm on type shit. And yeah, man, I got to go with Biggie, man. I got to go with Biggie.
Right.
Hey, Kaz, welcome back to the show, man. What say you, my friend?
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me back, man. I'm chilling, man. How y'all doing?
Good. How about you?
Yeah, man.
Cooler, man. Enjoying the discussion, man.
So who you got, Big versus Pac, and why?
I got Big, man, just because it's more of like, that's where I was, you know, and when I was a child going through that, that's what I was, like, into at the time. I didn't even really hear a lot of that Pac music until, like, after, you know, he was dead and everything. And I went back and was, like, doing the research, because in the time I was, like, more on that East Coast shit. Mm-hmm. But I, as far as, like, if you were to ask me who was better, I mean, with me saying Big, that's just me giving my personal preference of who I fucks with. But if you were to ask me who was the better MC or who was more important or any of those questions, I have to give it a tie, man. I'd have to give it a tie. Pac is technical with the lyrics. Pac is an incredible songwriter. Like, Pac is an incredible MC. And man, Pac is crazy, man. We got to hear a lot more body of work from Pac.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
What he was capable of, more different things. But that motherfucking, and then another thing too with Big, I mean, Ready to Die was cool to me. Like, Ready to Die wasn't the shit to me. It was okay at the time. I grew to appreciate it. But that second album, that Life After.
Oh my God.
That's the blueprint. That's the real blueprint. That is the real blueprint.
Masterpiece.
Masterpiece. I gotta go with Big over Pac. Big came into the me out the gate spitting, was a force to reckon with. This might be taking a shot at Pac, but Pac kind of had to, like, dance. He had to be a dancer for Digital Underground and kind of, you know, put in work and get in the door and whatnot. I mean, Big out the gate was a force to reckon with. Biggie's double CD sold more than Pac's double CD. And I mean, like, Biggie was just off of one verse and one song, everybody was clamoring for more of them, you know. Pac's first album, it was good. I wouldn't say it was totally great. Some skippables, you know. It's not a non-skippable joint, you know.
That was Apocalypse.
Is that the name of the first one? Yes, Mr. J, the story.
Strictly. The first one is called Strictly for My Niggas.
I can't say that word. Y'all got to say it for me.
Yeah.
With Tupac was the second one.
Yeah.
I believe so, and then I believe the third one was called Thug Life. I believe so.
So that was a group project. That was a group project, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So Pac's body of work doesn't. So, damn. So Big's body of work is better than Pac's body of work. That's what y'all telling me, right? With his short amount of work.
Man, that like that.
To me personally, yes.
Yeah, I think it has. He's a better quality catalog overall.
Because like Pac's beat, man. Pac's beats at first suck, man.
Yeah, that's another thing. Pac wasn't always the greatest beat picker.
But when he got with Suge, and then it picked up. But
and I think the thing was with Biggie being with Diddy influence and a lot of his beats is what kind of, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like the selection of beats Diddy was giving him,
yeah, versus like, what he wanted, yeah.
Was like, no, he was like, bro, listen, you can do it. I'm like, come on, Juicy, bro, just think about
it. Yeah, because he ain't even like Juicy for real. Yeah, he ain't even like Juicy for real. Yeah. Damn.
I think Pac, as far as production, he was going through the early eras of Gangsta Rap coming out in 92, which is actually Tupacalypse Now was actually the first one. Strictly for Mine was the second one. But going through kind of different eras and growth of the sound, especially on the West Coast, he was kind of coming in on the end of that kind of late 80s sound going into the early 90s. So, you know, you kind of see where the evolution of the producers were, like Bobcat and, you know, different other cats that were on different albums.
I still don't think Pac had an excuse, though. Because, like, look at all the hot production that was out in, like, 92, though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was some serious, but you know what I mean? He didn't go for it. Like, you know, Wu-Tang was out at the time. You know what I mean? Like,
Pete Rock.
He had some hit. He could have got something.
I think it was different, though. Yeah, I think it was different.
With a different element.
I think it was a different era. You know what I'm saying? You didn't really. You had still had singular producers working on different people's albums. You did. It's not like now people kind of go and cherry pick different albums and they can go, you know, shopping. They can go basically producer shopping. Back then, you didn't really do that. You knew what the budget was, and most of it was in house.
Maybe that's what I'm about to say. Maybe he didn't have a budget on the earlier projects like some of these other guys did too.
That's probably what it was.
But you know, just for me, I love all the production for what it was, you know, back in the day. It's just it changes, the sound changes. And it was just that growth from then till 96, and you kind of see all of it.
Well, Digital Underground Beats was hot.
Yeah. Shock G, Raw Fusion did a lot of that production.
Well, maybe he just didn't want it. I don't know. That's something to think about.
Well, his best album to me was the one, what's the one with Shed So Many Tears and all that? And
that's Me Against the World.
Me Against the World, yeah.
And that's a lot of Easy Mo B production on that.
That's hard.
Who produced a lot of the Biggie tracks?
Machiavelli hard too, though. I ain't gonna lie. Machiavelli tough.
Eyes on Me is like right there under that Life After Death, man. It's another Blueprint album. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not as hard as Life After Death, but I mean, he had a lot of different cuts, you know, a lot of different styles on that album, and it was fire, man. He even had East Coast cats on there, you know,
If Pop would have got more Dre beats and let Dre kind of control that, we might have had something else, man.
Maybe.
So, like, question, man, because you know, like during this era, I was young. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. I, 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 Because me, like, I honestly got introduced to hip-hop, like, when I first moved out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I really started getting into hip-hop is when I moved out here to the East Coast. And I was 13, 14, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I had always done music. But so, like, with y'all, like, being around in that era, like what's do y'all feel like y'all know why it happened? Or is it still, like, crazy or, like, a mystery to y'all? Like, because I feel
What happened?
Like, everything that happened between them.
Shit, I mean, we really just come in to feel like the, you know, niggas who was really heavy in the streets in L.A., they knew back then, but we really just come in to know now, like, what it really was. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was an East Coast, West Coast beef. Like, it really was right. beef
yeah.
and shit.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it, we from North Carolina, too. We from the South. So it's like, really, we caught whatever the media sent out.
And that, was heavy, that was really heavy on the reason why beef was, you know, the way it was, because you had other artists, East Coast, West Coast artists working together, but you wouldn't hear that in the magazines. You wouldn't hear that, you know, on the video shows. It's just now that you're starting to get some of them stories of cats who were like, yo, it, the magazines made it more than it was.
Thank you.
There were individual beefs. There were label, you know, label beefs, but it was never as big as everybody made it. You know, as all the media made it.
You know, that's what I was about to say. So it was media kind of pushing it that way.
It was.
Nah, but niggas was really getting shot from the beginning. Like I'm saying, like niggas was really getting shot in Atlanta with Suge and Puff, and then like, you know, Pac was really running with real street niggas that was heavy in the streets, and they really set him up. Like, you know what I'm saying? The same niggas who was, you know, bullying in the game 20 years later was niggas he was fucking with 20 had beef for 20 years before that. And like I said, and he really went to prison thinking Big and them had set him up, his only close people. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was a series of events, you know.
That beef did open up the door for the South. That's when like Master P flew in and a lot of other people from the South started flying in after that, you know what I mean? So it was a crazy time, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the next topic. Best rap battles or beefs of all time.
Well, outside of Big and Pac?
Outside of Big and Pac. Let's start with Mr. J.
Well, I got a list here. We're going to start with, you know, the essentials. KRS-One versus MC Shan. That's a big one. That kind of started the on-record beefs, like the real on-wax answering back and forth. There were battles before then, you know, like Busy Bee, Treacherous Three, you know, some other cats, you know, some of the other pioneers before pre-recorded, like commercially recorded radio and record label. But that's kind of the big setup. Of course, besides the Big and Pac, of course, we got, you know, the East, West, you know, hyped up, which brought us some tracks like Dog Pound had New York, New York. Capone and Noriega had L.A., L.A. You got Jay-Z versus Nas, which is, you know, probably one of the biggest, most recent ones, you know, to kind of have an influence on the whole game. Joints like, you know, Ether, Super Ugly, you know, Takeover. And then one is that I don't think anybody really thought about or may even know much about. It's like Aftermath basically versus everybody. Once 50 got on Aftermath, a lot of the artists took on a lot of his beefs. With Ja Rule, you know, and then Eminem with Benzino and St. Clown Posse, and then, you know, the leftover Death Row beef from, you know, Dre leaving Death Row. This is basically like post Snoop leaving and going to No Limit. So it was kind of like the rebuilding or sort of like 2.0 of Death Row with different tracks. From like from different rappers, like people who worked with Pac, people who worked with.
You gonna leave us anything left, man?
Well, you're killing the rules, so the rules drive by. I got something else, though.
They put me on some people. I didn't know about them.
Go ahead, you take off.
Well, off the dome, let me see. I'll say, here's a hidden one, man. 3-6 Mafia and Bone Thugs and Harmony. Okay. People don't talk enough about that one. It took them damn, 30 years to finally fight? Try to anyway? You know what I'm saying? That shit was crazy. T.I. versus Flip, T.I. versus Ludacris. You can go into that one.
I was about to that say was, that.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
That was
sweet. I mean, especially the Ludacris and T.I. because they was going. They went. I don't know, man. So other than iconic ones, man, you know, little small ones, like, you know what I mean? I even remember who remembers the Lil Wayne and Gilly situation they had, you know what I'm saying? People don't be remembering them little ones, man, but them little ones was impactful too, though. You know what I mean?
I can't believe
those are the ones that sell a couple shots.
Y'all ain't said what's that name? What's his name? Jeezy and Gucci Mane, man.
Oh yeah, hell yeah!
Talk about T.I. and sure. Flip, Jeezy and Gucci Mane's beef.
That was real. That was real for sure. But yeah, that's a lot of them, man.
Yeah, I know. I think Mr. J had mentioned Cam and Jay, but the real beef right there to me is Rockefeller versus everybody else they was going at, like, you know, like Nas and them at the time when they did the Hot 97 freestyles, because the Hot 97 freestyles was like peak hip hop, peak. That was real hip hop. You know, niggas going at each other, real MCing, but they was all street niggas too. So it was on a different level. I definitely want to say Compton Most Wanted versus 8 Hype Thugs because that was one of the craziest beefs I've ever seen. When Quick came with Dollars and Cents is like hip hop perfection as far as beefs go. Probably my favorite beef is Jim Jones versus Max B, which is really Jim Jones versus Max B and Jim Jones. But I mean, Max B, I never seen a nigga go so hard to the point where the whole mixtape was a diss mixtape. You know what I'm saying? And like 16 songs calling a nigga snitch back to back. And
yeah, that shit was crazy.
Biggavell went hard, and Biggavell shows you too how big an impact that Tupac had, because Biggavell was like, you know what I'm saying, a nigga that was so nice and so respected and so honored by MCs, but his whole style pretty much come from Pop. Other beefs, I mean, y'all named so many of them.
Mr. J had the long list.
Man, I got a couple of recent ones, man. You got what's his name? You got Drake and XXX.
Drake and Meek Mill.
Boom.
That was crazy. Yo, that's one of the crazy.
Young Dolph and what's his name?
Yo Gotti,
bro. Yeah, that's a big one.
You talking about the other Yo Gotti. You talking about Dolph was beefing with Yo Gotti artists. What's the nigga name that would be like? They got the meme like you. What's up, you whore?
You talking about? Black Youngster.
But
Dolph was beefing with Gotti too.
Yeah, with Gotti. It was Dolph and Gotti. Like Yeah, man. What about Nicki and Cardi B when they? Oh my God, they were fucking going crazy. They were going retarded. Then you got I feel like, you know, Mr. J said, who'd you say against everybody? My against everybody would be Kanye.
Yeah.
Damn. Kanye versus the world.
Kanye versus the world, dog. I swear to God.
Yo, another dope beef is the beef between Tupac and Mobb Deep. Like, those are some of the best songs going back and forth, too. I mean, the Drop a Gem on them, Drop a Gem on him on Hell on Earth. Which was the first record talking about Pac getting raped is one of the craziest this song.
Boy, that beat was so crazy, bro. Oh my god.
We lose somebody?
Mr. J.
He's down there still.
All right, bro.
Man. All right, well, let me go through my little quick list. Of course, you know, Big and Pac, and that's the biggest one because you got two dudes dead over that. Common and Ice Cube was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Common did the Bitchin' You joint on Ice Cube and killed them. And then Ice Cube versus N.W.A. And my all-time favorite has got to be 50 Cent and Ja Rule.
Of course.
Still going.
Yeah, like you literally killed the man's career. You know, I don't know if we've seen that today.
Jada and Beanie. Oh my God.
Oh, Jada, yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of chats, man. That's that Hot 97 era.
You got crazy.
DJ Quick versus MC8 in the chats. Romeo versus Bow Wow. Chingy versus Nelly.
Wow.
Dame versus Jay. Of course, somebody said Beans and Jada.
Yeah, man.
Nicki versus Remy Ma.
Jada winning 50 too, right?
Jada. Well, 50 went at Jada because he did the song with Ja Rule and Fat Joe. The New York. That New York.
100 Guns, 100 Clips. Yeah.
Paul, let me look.
Let me jump in while you pausing your list, Paul. But one thing I think we got to acknowledge too is that Drake versus Meek Mill, that was a crazy beef. Because I think Drake surprised a lot of people. People weren't expecting it. And a lot of things we name is just like shots, like, you know, MCs taking shots at each other. That was like an actual beef where it was like a timeline where it was going song for song. You know, at some point, Meek got doubled up on the songs, but that was an ill battle, yo.
With King Von and Quando. I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
King Von a crazy MC though, to be honest. King Von is crazy. Anything else
I want to touch on?
That was the end of your list, Paul?
Yeah, I only really had four on my list that was really significant to me.
Yeah.
You know, the Common, Ice Cube, and NWA, and Ice Cube was involved in two of them, 50 Cent, Ja Rule, and then the Pac and Big, of course, is always going to be dear to a lot of people's hearts. You know.
The common and cube is dope too. You like those beats where it's like rappers with different styles going at each other, like, you know, where the style is like extremely different. You know what I'm saying?
Well, this next subject, we was gonna get into. Big Face was brought it up, but he ain't even here tonight to do, and that's the Nicki Minaj and Megan Thee Stallion feud.
Mm.
Y'all ain't heard neither one of the songs. I ain't heard the hiss, and I ain't heard.
I'm gonna start with the young cat Nicki Latin Minaj. Looney Tunes on this one. What you munching on over there?
I mean, some gummies, y'all.
Uh oh.
Nah, bro. What kind of gummies?
but Nicki got cooked, bro. Oh, I don't know what she came out with. What that was, bro. But that's not the Nicki I know, at least. But yeah, maybe.
Nicki on that cocaine, that's what's wrong with
her.
Nose candy, man.
That shit is fucking her up.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad when people are telling you to not go listen to her song.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible, man.
And this, bro, I'm telling you right now, this shit only blew Megan up like a motherfucker. So how you ain't put no promo into your song and you got Nicki's people blowing your song up?
Mm. Mm. But people sleeping on Meg. Megan can really rap, bro.
She can rap.
She stole Pimp C whole style.
You know, did she steal it or was it a Houston thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Crazy.
Mr. J, you got something to say about this? Down there quiet.
Well, I think Megan got killed. Nicki got killed. that whole Megan's Law line that roasted anything she had to say in her whole song. Just that one line to me. But the stands, you know, I mean, they're out of hand right now behind, you know, behind Megan. Going there and trying to, you know, threaten her mother's grave and all this other craziness. And,
oh, wow.
You know, Megan's catching a little bit of heat because, you know, that Megan's Law line, they're the family who enacted that law, you know, is kind of demanding an apology right now, you know. And this for a battle or a beef to become this big commercially, is something new, because you got basically a Washington Post paper article on it, and you've got, you know, top 40 stations commenting on it, you know, basically pop radio commenting on it like that.
Because it's Nicki. Because of Nicki, you know, man.
You know, and for it to become, people have to actually explain battles to outside people who are outside the culture. It's kind of crazy.
Nicki, I mean, messing the money up now.
Well, Nicki messed herself up. You know what I'm saying? Marrying a child predator. So,
whoa.
Megan threw shots.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Megan threw shots. That shit was.
I mean, that's not a shot. It's in the papers. It's on.
It's a fact.
Oh, yeah. It's a fact. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying it's not, but she made it known. She threw it in a song. That's what I'm saying. She...
So be careful of the company you keep. You know what I mean?
Cardi B about to come back now and kill everybody. She worried about, I guess you worried about Offset though. Still worried on that.
Damn, I'm starting to get hungry. Everybody munching on something, man. And whatnot. Big Cass, you got any comments about this feud?
Nah, I mean, I didn't get to hear either one of the songs yet, but I've been, you know, I'm on Twitter heavy, so I've seen all the stuff when each song dropped on Twitter. But I mean, like you said, I mean, they both got crazy fan bases on Twitter. And when I said Megan stole Pimp C whole style, that wasn't a diss. Pimp C is one of the illest. That's a good one to go from. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, shout out.
I think it's a mixture.
I find it hard to believe what y'all saying, that Megan killed Nicki. But y'all saying it, so I got to believe it. I mean, y'all making me want to go double back in here. You know what I'm saying?
She did, Cass. Real shit.
Bad, bro. Bad. Yeah.
Like, this won't monster Nicki.
Oh, damn.
Bad for real.
I think she should have went back and listened to herself on that track before she put it out.
And like I said, y'all bringing up a lot of stuff, like, you know, drugs and what she got going on with her relationships. Do you think Meg took the time to assassinate when she was at a low moment to take advantage of that? Because Meg came out of nowhere with the diss, right?
I think she's been marinating on this for a minute, because Nicki been been shooting subs, you know what I'm saying, for a hot minute. And then, you know, with everything Megan had going on in her life, you know, she was like, okay, I'm just letting loose on everybody.
Yeah, Meg got a lot of shit going on too, but that shit crazy, man. That shit crazy. And the ladies really getting it in on the MC shit, so I respect it, man.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to see more battles. At least with this battle, we ain't got to worry about, well, we kind of do. I'm about to say we got to worry about nobody getting shot, but we kind of do. But
I mean, Meg done got shot for it. So
yeah, in the foot. I'm about to say, she's already missing a toe.
Yeah. And Nicki got the shooter, so, but it's good to see females doing their thing and battles and, you know, that going on, because that's what I love, so, you know.
Shout out to Tory Lanez, man.
Free that man.
For
real,
man. Shit.
Yeah, man.
That was one of my favorite artists.
Well, me personally, I'd rather see them bare knuckle it out at BKFC 57.
Hey.
You know, that's what I prefer. and whatnot. We're gonna get
Megan, that's a big bitch. Megan is a big bitch. And I ain't saying that to be negative. I'm saying
she big for real. That motherfucker about 5'10", 5'11". Man, what? She big, man.
Yeah, no, I thought she was 6 foot up. I thought she was like 6 something.
I don't know. Yeah, she can my Googles.
Mary is tall, bro.
Nikki gonna have to call her husband.
All right, so we're gonna have one more topic. Before we get into that, we're gonna get in a quick dizzle break.
Trap door.
Me and my team are never been link up. They're gonna be drink up. We sit and relax and have few glasses when there's things to think about. Like I'm nice with the boss when I tend to the bars and I'm not talking drink ups. So tell the bartender that's tending the bar to please pass me a big cup of. And tell the waitress is waiting on us to put a little ice in it. Now watch the ice become weightless like the spaceships that I be sitting in. No waiting list, another waiting for that tropical twist. That'll tickle your taste bud. Now taste some. Now I insist it's the drizzle.
Really meaning you could dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Check us out, dizzlebrand.com, and we got the new 4-can coming out, red bottom, on the beach, and the sangria and mango rita and whatnot.
I need a case shipped to my house expeditiously.
Need a case.
On a quick note,
the 4-can coming and whatnot. So
Mutate, you was right. She 5'10". She 5'10". I thought she was taller, bro. I could have sworn she was taller.
That's still tall for a woman, though. You know what I mean? For real. All
right, so we got a interesting topic, and it actually kind of went through the day with the Universal Records removing their music from TikTok. So you got Drake, Kendrick Lamar, Nicki Minaj, music being removed or facing removal off of TikTok. But I do know a lot of music got removed and people's TikTok posts got muted. Their sounds got muted. So I want to start this with Mutate God. I think he might have some interesting to say about this.
Only thing I got to say about, well, one of the things is, I think it's okay, man. Like, I mean, they have control over what they want to do with their catalog of music. And if the artists, I don't know who particularly has a problem with it, but if the artists have a problem with it, they better find some ownership, because you can't complain about nothing you don't own. You know what I mean? Like, you can't complain about anything that you don't own. And Universal, we don't know what they got up their sleeve. They might be coming up with some sort of a service on their own side, like a TikTok type thing, which is why they might want to pull their stuff off right now and go into to save it to go into their own thing. We don't know what these billion-dollar people got up the pipeline, but you know, if it's hurting the artists and they feeling a type of way about that, all right, get some ownership. You know what I mean? Who has the problem with it?
Well, I don't really got a problem with it. I think it's going to be a good thing for the unsigned artists, the independent artists. I know the Universal Music Group artists, there's a lot that's going to have a problem with it, because there's a lot of artists that are not major artists that are distributed by Universal Music Group and whatnot. Yeah. And I don't know. It don't make sense to me, because it's every other label is okay with the payouts that they're getting. In the deal that they're getting, it's just Universal trying to puff out their chest right now. You know what I'm saying? And what? Mr. J, you got anything to say about this?
Yeah, it's a money grab. I mean, strictly a money grab.
Yeah.
Universal's trying to figure out, you know, how much of the bag they can get, and you know, TikTok is trying to figure out how much of the bag they can keep. I mean, right now, essentially, you know, with TikTok getting so many views and so many people on their platform, it really is, you know, basically breaking artists or getting individuals who are able to, you know, put their music out there on that platform. And Universal is like, you know, we see the potential, we see what's going on, we want to be able to, you know, wet our beak too. And that's mm-hmm. usually what happens in corporations. They kind of have pissing contests. And we see, you know, we'll figure out how this works out. But, you know, you can guarantee artists on any label ain't going to see another extra cent, another extra publishing point on any of this. Because, you know, the labels want to hold everything. They want to hold all the cash.
Mm-hmm. So,
just Black have to Looney, be. You got like 10,000 followers. What do you think about this?
It's to me, I don't really care because for one, when I
yeah, he got caught in the matrix.
Him. Yeah, we lost him.
It's the blue pill, not the real one.
Kaz, you got anything to say about this?
I mean, it's business. I mean, it's two corporations, and I guarantee they're going to negotiate, and they're going to come to an agreement because it's Universal and TikTok. They need each other. So they're going to come to an agreement. I can't guarantee you it's going to be what's best for the artist, but it will be best for what's best for Universal and the corporation. And who's it hurting? It's probably hurting the little people on TikTok, like the little girls doing the dances that now they video ain't got no, yep. ain't got no sound. Yep. And I'm hoping that, you know, underground artists and unsigned artists are able to take advantage of this time because Universal has a big catalog that's just been removed from TikTok, and hopefully some other artists, some unsigned artists, like Mr. J said, will be discovered on TikTok through this by just having, you know, some hype songs on there.
Mm-hmm. Cutting the big dog out. They did it. Yeah.
Yeah, because I had that a friend, he said all his sounds got removed on a lot of his posts on TikTok, and basically they got an option where you can change the sound, but a lot of influencers are upset about it, because especially if you do a dance, you've done a dance to a specific song, and now you got to try to change the song on that post, you know, to make the dance possibly fit, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I think just Kaz do more is content. Right.
The influencers are definitely going to be more pissed than anybody on this aspect.
Yeah, but you know, if a dance is gone on mute, do another one. Put a lot of content up, so why you can't worry about too much of the past.
Yeah,
keep going.
I love it. I'm about to ramp up my lip syncs. I know that much. And somebody just came in. I think we got Looney's back.
Yeah.
You back.
I'm back. Can I hear
me?
I don't know why.
Yeah. You went in the matrix.
For real, I was gone.
See, TikTok went to war with him.
No, but yeah, man. Yeah, I think Mr. J kind of really hit it on point with what it was, man. This right now is just a battle for money, man. This ain't nothing else but a.
We got radio silence. We got radio silence. We ain't got him back up on the screen.
Y'all don't hear me?
Yeah, I hear.
Oh, okay.
I don't see him.
I'm here. I see myself.
I see you.
Yeah, I do.
He's good. All right, but yeah, man. Like I said, it's a fight for money, man. It's a power struggle right now. They're trying to see who gives leeway to the most. Like he said, man, one's trying to keep money, the other one's trying to get it. So
it's kind of like what, like the writer's strike was for the actors and stuff like that for the movies. You think that's what they're trying to pull off?
Man, you know what? Now that you mention it, they're trying to
get as much as they can. I think, you know, a lot of times, you know, a lot of these artists don't, you know, they don't get to just do they deserve. And these labels know that. They know exactly what they're trying to get out of every deal they make.
Mm-hmm. And that shit hits. And you know what? That shit hits home too. Like whenever. They got to get the most money because sometimes it ain't just about the artist. It's about the whole up and down, the scale of money. You know what I mean? Because that's like that writer strike. It affected so many people all the way down to the down hairstylist. You see what I'm saying?
And I feel like it in a way, like Paul was saying, it affects like me. Like I got 20,000 followers on there, right? So I guarantee you I got videos on there with Drake's music.
And it's music.
You know? And it's just quiet now. Now I'm not generating my little money that I make off of that every month or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I can only imagine people who do that on a daily basis, and that's what they do. Like, this is like, oh, they're, because I know people that that's what they live by. They make content on the internet, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? So now you're not only hurting the people that you got up there, now you're hurting the other people that rely on what you pushed out for them to make that content as well. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's definitely got a trickle effect all the way down.
Mm-hmm. So almost like all
look, you see this comedy, he down in Miami talking with this. It's so wild.
Yeah. This was crazy.
Sorry, fellas, this wild down here in Miami.
Shouts out to Big Face down there in the MIA. Yo,
that was a big flex.
I don't worry. I bet you it is wild down there.
Yeah.
Like surprising, right? Wow.
I think another problem is how do you decipher how much somebody gets paid off of a 15-second TikTok when they're using your song or 30-second?
I think that's exactly what they're doing. Like I said, they just taking the catalog down while they negotiate what that is, what it is worth.
What is that worth? What do we think that's worth?
Listen, you think about this, bro, right? Sometimes some people are smart with it too. They make a 10-second video, right? That just loops. Yeah. You won't even know that thing loops. You'll sit there and watch it for about 2 minutes. You don't watch that video about 30 times, bro. You don't even know it. Motherfucker might make $1,000, $2,000 a month off a video like that. Easy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Easy. I know people that do. I know I got a friend of mine, and it's crazy because he doesn't even post content of himself. He posts like content of other people, you know, and that's all his TikTok is consists about is him posting other people's content. And he got like, I think like 637,000 followers or whatever. And all his videos hit 1 million views, 1.5 or right under 1 million. And he bringing home a check easy every week. It's like $2,000, $3,000. I'm like, yo, what? Like, how?
Yeah. On the music side, too, the TikTok money is real on the music side. I actually, a couple of years back, I had did a Christian rap project, and I had sampled like a TikTok joint where the lady was like on TikTok, like, Holy Spirit, activate. Mm-hmm. And I sampled that. And that joint got like hundreds of thousands of like TikTok people that use it. And like I said, every month I see about like $50. And that's the money's only coming from TikTok. Like it's not really streaming on Spotify like that crazy, not YouTube like that crazy, but it's crazy TikToks. And it's been consistently about $50 every month since then, for like 2 years.
Damn.
Coming just from that one song on TikTok. You can search that. It's on Google. You can search Ronald. You know, my Christian joint, I go by my government name, Ronald Massenburg. You search Ronald Massenburg, Holy Spirit Activate. You can search it on TikTok.
Yeah, shout out to TikTok. I love TikTok, man. I don't care what anybody says about TikTok being the devil or Satan. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. All I know is I spent less than $100 and got a client, 9 million views and a shit ton of likes and comments and reshares on TikTok. So
yeah.
What I think about TikTok.
Damn right. I hear you.
It's TikTok's the wave, man. It's definitely the wave, bro.
Yeah, you can't like push back on it, man, you know. And that's one of the things I had a problem with Trump about, like, yo, pump the brakes on TikTok, homie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. TikTok.
Pump this is the too much content. TikTok, trying to ban TikTok and shit, man.
Too much content to be out there to use.
Before we go, anybody want to
do it? It'll always be something.
Anybody want to do a shout out?
I'm going to say Trump really should have been going at people like Apple and them because. They really talking about data collection. And I mean, of course, apps going to collect data. He really should have been going at Apple about that.
Well, Apple and Amazon. Web services is everywhere.
And Apple ain't breaking no unsigned artists anyway, so. Any shout-outs, fellas, y'all want to get out of the way?
Vietnam.
Yeah.
Shout-out to 3D Straw. Shout-out to Latin Luna. Yeah. Good to meet you, brother. I've seen your stuff, man. Good to meet you, man.
No, I appreciate it. Appreciate it, bro.
Mr. J. Big Paul.
Anybody else?
Man, you know me, man. Shout out to the 28376 Bucktown for sale. Shout out to the Mutate Festival, April 13th, man. It's loading up. We're getting closer and closer. Shout out to Modeo Magazine, man. That thing, we building that thing. Shout out to Mutate Clothing. Shout out to the doggone Uncle Chuck. Tia Hart, my artist, female artist, is about to come soon. Shout out to Pay All the Stacks. His album's out right now. You know what I'm saying? I Want This More Than Ever. Y'all streaming that right now. You know. And shout out to, you know, Wool Boy Films, man. We about to start on the South of the Border film and really get some comedy out here. Come on, motherfuckers don't want to put comedy films out, man. So we're going to do some comedy films and shit like that. So, yeah, man. And shout out to everybody in the 910 and the Carolinas just working and trying to perfect their craft so they can get some money. And remember, Mutate God said, don't just do it for the clout. Get you some money, man. For sure.
Let me know if you need some comedians for that comedy joint, man. Cause my guy
does
the open mic. My guy does the open mic comedy night over here on Bragg Boulevard at the White Rabbit.
Okay.
I ain't funny, but I'm funny looking, bro. I'll be there.
Oh yeah, man. Hey, man. Hey, I'll let y'all know when to cast the call, man. We about to do a cast the call soon, man. I have all I have all y'all in there. I don't give a fuck. You know how we rock. You know what I mean? So we just gonna have fun.
I need some more IMDb credits.
Bro, for sure.
Thanks.
You know what I'm saying? Of course, speaking of that, you know what I'm saying? I got Savage Genesis that's on Amazon and Tubi right now. Shout out to Tef Kaluminati.
I was
a part of the Herb Train. Shout out to Kyan the Lion King. We got Tales from the Dead Zone still in post-production, so that should be coming soon. Of course, I'm steadily trying to wrap up this Underground Experience film, doing interviews next 2-3 months, and got some performances coming up. I'll let y'all know as they come on. And of course, One Heartbeat Away. It's streaming right now on all platforms. And we're getting ready to have the Empire Dark Ages album. That should be up coming pretty soon as well. Shout out to all of y'all. You know what I'm saying? We're going to keep it moving. We're going to keep networking. That's what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Network is, you know what I'm saying? It's what makes everything happen.
For sure.
Definitely network. I also want to say, Aside from shouting out shameless plug time, make sure to check out, you know, all the music that I got out there, music that I got coming out, man. Go to unitedmasters.com/bigcast910, unitedmasters.com/bigcast910, and go to youtube.com/bigcast910 and subscribe to Bigcast 910 TV. Anybody out there looking to do any video work, like want to get some music videos done, want to do some interviews, reach out to me because we're about to get the channel back up and running really strong. So holler at your boy. Shout out to my boy, Boss Greedy. I see him in the chat. Shout out to everybody that's in the chat. You know,
Greedy.
Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Big, yeah, definitely. Big shout out to everybody in the chat, man. We definitely see y'all in here, man. We got y'all popping up on screen. You feel me? Yeah, man, big shout out to, you know, we got to shout out Big Face, man. He out there in Florida giving us some content for us out there.
It's crazy.
So big shout out to him, man. He out there doing the thing with the bare knuckle fighting, man, for Circle of Kings, man. So big shout out to the Circle of Kings, man. Y'all, if y'all ain't checked it out, y'all definitely go check it out. We putting in work on that, man. Shout out to everybody on the panel, man. Y'all already know how we get down, man. So then I also, y'all definitely go check out my music, man. I got more music that's about to drop. I'm dropping maybe about 3-4 more songs coming up in like the next month or so. Then I'm probably gonna, you know, hold off on it for a minute and just let them sit there and marinate. So y'all definitely stay tuned for that. But we are about to drop hella videos, so that's what we are about to start getting coming in for y'all, man. We're about to bring these music videos in for y'all, man. Something I've been waiting for. So y'all stay tuned for that, man. And yeah, man, big shout out to everyone, man, that sit here and come in and watch this and vibe with us, man.
Live from Vietnam.
You feel me?
Yeah, shouts out everybody live from Vietnam. Big Kaz, Latin Loonies, Mutate God, Mr. J. Shouts out to Big Face, motherfucker out there in the MIAO. While we still in Vietnam.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Shouts out to my Dizzle Brand crew. Shouts out to Circle of Kings. Shouts out to my man, Redneck Mundell. I know he's out there at the BKFC 57.
Is he on tonight?
Which is actually in Hollywood, Florida, Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino and whatnot. So before we go, anybody want to say?
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, one more shout out to the So Hollywood podcast. We're trying to see if we got some things going on with the core DJs. We'll see what's popping with that. As I get some more information.
And for sure. Mr. J, when do we got Drug Beats on? We got him the 16th?
16th.
And if everything goes well, we should have a DV Alias Christ on next week, who was actually on the Nutty Professor soundtrack with my crew Can't Go for that joint with Smoother Hustlin', Trigger the Gambler. And he was on the Lyricist Lounge, I think Volume 2, if I'm not mistaken.
And I'm checking back with Pace 1 sometime this week. So
Pace 1!
What's Pace 1?
Yeah.
And anytime y'all want to bring on any guests, just let us know and whatnot. So,
I definitely got somebody that in the works. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. So, yeah.
Okay.
We got some.
All right. Before we go, anything y'all want to say?
We love you, fam.
Peace.
4-7, Mutate Daily.
Spread love.
Beats by Trill, straight killerville, dog.